Our scripture this morning is Acts chapter 16, as we continue our journey through this book. Last week we had seen the division that had taken place between Paul and Barnabas over the issue of wanting John Mark to join them in the journey, and it led to that division and that conflict. And from that, that couldn't be worked out, but from it, it led to two missionary teams going out two different directions, and Paul taking Silas with him and Timothy continues to travel now, and we pick up the story as they continue their traveling in their mission, second missionary journey. Verse 6 of chapter 16, we're reading to verse 10. It said, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here is the reading of God's word, and his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its truth. And your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. That your word, Lord, speaks to us and gives us guidance and direction in our life, that we know how to follow you and walk in you as you, our good shepherd, leads us. So through your word this morning, I pray that you would give us encouragement, direction, and guidance through your truth, through your spirit this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone needs guidance and direction in our life. Maybe you're taking your journey or a trip, or you need guidance and direction for my financial affairs, or a lot of different things we need guidance in. And when you need guidance and direction, who or what do you consult or turn to? What's the first place, or who's the first person you look to for guidance and direction? Who do you consult first? A lot of people consult different things. Some people, unfortunately, will consult the stars. And they'll get there, they'll read the newspaper, and they'll read their horoscope, and they'll try to find guidance or direction from their life from the stars above. That's not a good way to go. Some people will try to get guidance and direction from a fortune cookie. Say, if I get this fortune cookie and it will give me guidance and direction, this is what I'm supposed to do for my life. Or if you're taking a trip or a journey, especially somewhere you've never been before, a lot of people these days will take guidance and direction from a GPS. And a GPS, and they'll put their faith and they'll trust in a GPS to get them where they need to go to help them find and navigate through places they've never been before. A GPS can be a good source for guidance and direction. But you know, there are times that GPSs can lead astray. And they can lead us wrong. This week, I come across several stories and encounters of real stories that happened by people that were led astray by GPS. Here's one. In early May, a driver in Upper West Side of Manhattan was trying to make his way to New Jersey. But somewhere along 88th Street, the GPS he was following led him astray. The driver turned west, but instead of entering into a street, his sedan entered down the first few stairs of an entrance to Riverside Park. The car and the driver were stuck on the stairs until a tow truck could get him out. In 2009, Robert John's reliance on a GPS nearly got the best of him. He was driving through West Yorkshire, England, and the road began to steepen and narrow, but he still plugged on, insisting that the path he was following was a road because he was trusting the GPS. That's how he explained it. Jones only realized how wrong he was when his car bumped up against the thin wire fence just inches from a 100-foot drop-off cliff. He managed to get out safely, but the car remained balanced on the edge of the cliff, and it took a team recovery of 9 hours to get the car off. In 2011, three women were visiting Bellevue, Washington, and they were out after midnight, unable to find their way back to the motel. So what they do, they ask their GPS to reroute and take them back. They took them what they thought was a road, which would lead them back to the highway. Instead, their SUV ended up sinking into deep water. The road that they thought they were on, that the GPS had directed them to, ended up being a boat launch. And the water was a lake. All three managed to get out safely, but by the time the tow truck arrived, the SUV was completely submerged in the water. Early one foggy Saturday morning in 2011, a father was driving his wife and two kids through South Brunswick, New Jersey. At a T intersection where only options were left and right, the driver instead decided to follow the GPS, which told him to go straight. And when he did, he ran over the lip of a curve, continued for another 100 feet before hitting a house. And in 2007, a 37-year-old German truck driver had his GPS guide him to a Swiss factory where he was to deliver his cargo. But instead of heeding the no entry warning signs that would have deterred him, the driver followed the sound of the female voice until the truck ended up being wedged in the cradle of a cherry tree. The truck was stuck fast and the driver couldn't reverse. Local officials had to eventually come and chop down branches of the cherry tree to get him out. So who do we turn to when we need guidance and direction? You can't always trust the GPS. It may not get you where you need to go. Paul and Silas were on their missionary journey, and their plans was to leave after they had to split up with Paul and Barnabas, and their plans was to go back to Galatia and to visit the churches there and to see how they were doing back to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, to check on them, to strengthen the churches. And then from there, their plan was to go east to Asia. And they said that they were planning to go towards Asia. That's where he felt he wanted to go. The Lord was leading him. And it says, as he was trying to go that way, the Holy Spirit said no and put a clear stop to it. So they said, well, must not be the way to go. So he said they tried to go. Luke says they tried to go down to Mysia and to go to Bithynia. And when they got there, he said the Spirit of Jesus said no, it won't let them enter it. They said, no, this isn't it either. Then during that night, when Paul was sleeping, he saw a vision of a man. He said, come over to Macedonia and help us. So the next morning they got up and left and went to Macedonia. Paul wanted to go east. He wanted to go farther east into Asia and take the gospel. But the Lord was saying, no, I don't want you to go that way. I want you to go to Macedonia, which is to the west, which was to Greece, which is the gospel's going to enter Europe. But the Lord led through his sovereign Holy Spirit. He was giving guidance and direction to Paul and Silas as they needed it. And from this story this morning, from this account of the Word of God, as Luke records it for us, we're going to discover four ways that the Holy Spirit, who is sovereign, who is God, who knows the future, who knows what's best for you and I, gives us guidance and direction in our life when we need it. So let's learn what God has to say to us this morning about the guidance and direction that he provides through his sovereign Spirit. First thing, principle we see is that God guides through both open and closed doors. And I want you to notice something, and this is just a little aside here, but if you have a Bible or if you have a marker or a pencil, I want you to circle something. Notice the mention of the Trinity in verse 6, 7, and 10. In verse 6, you see that Luke says that we were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching in Asia. So it's the Holy Spirit. In verse 7, it says that the Spirit of Jesus would not permit them. And down in verse 10, Luke says, we were concluded that God had called us to preach. So you see the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father all mentioned, because God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God himself is involved in giving us guidance and direction. It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son together, bringing us guidance. But as God opens and closes doors, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit, because his Holy Spirit is leading and directing us. So Paul, in his mind, felt, I want to go to Asia. That's where the gospel's got to go. And the Holy Spirit closed the door. He said, no, you cannot go that way. And we got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because he lives in you and he lives in me. And he is God himself, who has got to show us the way to guide our life. And being sensitive to him that we can hear him speak. Because he prohibits and he permits. There's sometimes the Holy Spirit, and you get this sense in your life that the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm not to do that. Have you ever had a time in your life where you just get this inner sense in your life saying, I'm not supposed to do this. God is. Or there's times in your life where it seems like you want to get ready for a trip, or you want to go somewhere, and you ever had this experience happen to us sometimes where you're getting ready to do something and it seems like everything just seems to be going against it. And you're saying, like, it doesn't seem to be working out. And then you come to the conclusion, you know what? I guess God doesn't want me to do that. Did you ever have that happen to you? And said, God must not want me to do that. Well, that's because he's closing the door. That's part of how he leads. And being sensitive to realize that's the Holy Spirit who is guiding and directing you at that moment through that closed door. Sometimes he prohibits things. Other times he permits things. And there's other times he will, through his Holy Spirit, you'll get the sensing that this is what I'm to do. Because that's the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. And being sensitive. And Paul was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that he knew when he tried to go to Asia and the Spirit said no, he said, that must be not what God wants me to do. That's not his leading in my life. Also is being sensitive to the Spirit, because it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, behold, I put before you an open door which no one can shut. And Revelation 3, 7 says, he who opens what no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. But he also prompts and he restrains. Paul was restrained here by the Spirit from entering into Bithynia. He said, we got to the border, but the Holy Spirit would not allow us to go. And he restrained us and said, no. There's times in your life where you feel, God, I just feel restrained. I don't have a peace about this. Because that's God's Spirit leading. He also prompts us. Because it said he got a vision of a man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And he received from that must be the Holy Lord leading us. That through his prompting of the Holy Spirit, he guides and directs us. Have you ever had a time in your life where you're sleeping in a deep sound sleep, and you're really deep sleep, and all of a sudden you get woken up in the middle of the night, and you get woken up and the Lord puts somebody on your mind? Has that ever happened to you? In the middle of the night, and you get this prompting, like God's put this person on your mind in the middle of the night? That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's his prompting you at that moment, maybe to pray for them, because there's some need that they might have that the Holy Spirit knows about, and he's prompting you to pray for them. Or have you ever had a time in your life where you feel prompted to help somebody in need, or you see a situation, or you hear about something, and you have a prompting in your heart, like, I need to help out. I need to do something. I need to give to that, or I need to help this person out. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you, leading you and guiding you in that point to take the action he wants you to do. And when you get those promptings of his Spirit, being sensitive enough to him to know that's him speaking to me, and I need to respond to what he's leading me to do. Because that's how he works. Being sensitive enough, because he opens doors but he also closes doors. And through that, we walk in the door. We walk through the doors. If we sense he's leading, we keep going that way as long as we sense he's opening the door. But if we sense the door is closing, then we realize that's not his direction he wants us to go. And that's not where he's leading. And that's what we see here with Paul and Silas. And the first thing we learn about receiving God's direction, he also gives and also withholds peace. Because if the Holy Spirit is leading you a particular way, he's going to give you peace about that decision. But if you have a time in your life where you're trying to make a decision about what you should do or an action you're supposed to take and you just don't have peace about it, and down in your heart you just feel like, you know, there's something, I just don't feel right about this decision. I just don't feel that I have peace about that. You ever had time where I just don't feel peace about this? That's the Holy Spirit's leading and saying, that's not what I want for you. Because if it is his will, he will bring peace. And he will bring peace into decisions that we make. So he brings us peace, gives peace, but he also withholds it. And that's part of the way that he works. So being sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to recognize his promptings, when he opens doors, when he closes them, when he prohibits us, when he gives peace or withholds it, that's always in which he works through our lives. So God guides through both open and closed doors. We see that. But second, God guides through circumstances and discernment. Because as God was working here and guiding Paul on this missionary journey, he wanted to go, A, to Asia, and the circumstances seemed, no. He wanted to go to Bithynia and said, no. And then he had this vision. And he's putting all this together and all these circumstances that seemed to fall in line. He said, this must be what God wants. And in verse 10, it said, Luke writing about this, says that after the vision, we concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That word concluding in verse 10 carries the idea of putting pieces of a puzzle together. Where you have that aha moment, and you know you have that puzzle, and you have it in pieces all around, and it doesn't make sense when you see all the pieces scattered. But when you put the pieces all together, it says, I get it. And that's what he's saying here when we look at all the different circumstances of life that God is leading our path and directing us in. It may not make sense when we see one of them at a time. But when they all come together and we look back and see how God has led us, we then use the discernment of the Holy Spirit to say, I get it now. Because if we try to make God's leading and direction on the circumstances of life alone, we're going to come to the wrong conclusions. That's why we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And Paul had to use the discernment together. They said, we concluded here from the circumstances that are happening around us, we are concluding that with the discernment of the Spirit, this is where God's leading us. Through the use of discernment. So the question is, what? The question is, how do we properly discern God's guidance and direction so that we come to the proper conclusion? We can look at the circumstances of life and how God seems to be directing us, but how do we put the pieces together in the proper way to come to the proper conclusion to properly discern God's guidance? That we don't reinterpret it wrongly and make a wrong conclusion about what we feel he's leading us to do. Well, how do we do that? First, follow the directions you've already been given. We begin there by following the directions that you've already been given in God's word. God has made some of his direction and guidance very clear in his word already, and things that he made known to us. The scripture says in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So God's word is that roadmap, is that guide, is that light shining on our pathway, showing us this is the way to go, walk in it. And that's how we can begin to discern, is this God's leading or not, by what following the direction and the light that we already have. That's a good place to start. Because God's not going to ask us to do or lead us in a path consistent with his word. Now, Jimmy was a professional fisherman. He made his living fishing on the bass circuit. And he was also a devout Christian and belonged to FBC in Oklahoma. But in this one particular year, Bass made a rule that in order to be eligible for the Fisherman of the Year award, which was a $100,000 prize, you had to wear the patch and decal of the prominent sponsor of that year. And the prominent sponsor that year happened to be Busch Beer. Well, Jimmy Houston refused to do it, thereby forfeiting his chance to win the $100,000, which he usually always won every year. A fellow Christian fisherman on the circuit asked him, said, "Jimmy, have you prayed about that?" And Jimmy replied, "I don't have to pray about it. There is no decision for me to make. God has already made the decision for me in his word, and he has said not to do anything that would damage my testimony as a Christian." He didn't use these words, but Jimmy was saying to the fisherman, this is not part of God's specific will. This is a part of God's general will. God clearly tells me what his will is in his word. And once we understand that the majority of his will is revealed in the scripture, that's where we begin. And that gives us the first part of direction. But follow the directions you already have. Another way we can make that discernment is stay close to Jesus so you can hear and recognize his voice. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, he said, "I tell you the truth, a man does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in another way as a thief and a robber. The man who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and the sheep calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep will follow him because they know his voice." So another way to discern is it God leading or not is to stay so close to Jesus that you can recognize him speaking, that it's him and not the enemy. Because remember, the enemy masquerades as a prisoner, as a messenger of light, and he is a liar and he takes the word of God to deceive. So how do we know it's the voice of the Spirit or the voice of the enemy? Part is by staying close enough to Jesus to be able to recognize the difference. And to recognize it's him that's truly speaking to us. For the Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and he will lead, and all we have to do is follow. He led the nation of Israel through the wilderness in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And there are some times in your life and mine, we feel like we're wandering in the wilderness. And how do we find our way through it? But the Lord's presence is there, and he leads us through the fire and through the cloud. And by our good shepherd following him, if we stay close enough to lead, and we can hear his voice. That old song, "The Lord knows the way through the wilderness, all I have to do is follow." I remember singing that as a kid. But another way we can learn discernment is to seek the counsel of others who are godly. And that's what Paul did here. They conferred together. It said whenever Paul shared the vision, it said we concluded together that this was God's leading. And whenever you're seeking counsel and direction about a particular thing, you're not quite sure it may be God's leading for you, find a brother or sister in Christ that you know is godly and mature and ask them to pray with you about that. Seek their counsel and direction as well. And the scripture says from a multitude of counselors there is safety and there is direction, and God works that way because God can speak through another believer and give you counsel and direction. But how do we make come right to conclusion? Another way is to make sure that your character conclusions are based on what is known about God's character, nature, and plan. And as you're looking at the circumstances of life and trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together and to come to the conclusion, is this God's leading or not? Make sure that the conclusion that you come to finally is consistent with what you know about God, his character, his nature, and how he has revealed himself, because God is not going to lead us to do anything that is consistent with his character, will, or plan. And he's always going to lead us to do what is consistent with his nature, with his character, and with his plan, which is a good one for you and I. And we can trust him. So use that Holy Spirit and discernment as you're seeking to come to those conclusions. So God guides through both open and closed doors. God guides through circumstances and discernment. But third, God guides both personally and collectively. That God will give us personal direction in our life, but he also can speak to us through a church together, collectively. And through that, we can get the direction that this is what God's leading us to do. We see that here. Because Paul had a vision during the night of a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. While Paul was sleeping, that was God speaking to him personally. But Paul and his company, you notice it says, we were prohibited from entering Asia. We were prohibited from entering Bithynia. And it says that together we concluded that this is what God was doing. So God will give guidance both personal when we need it, but also collectively. That's why it's good to have those godly people around you, that God may be speaking to them and help you say, yeah, this is what I sense God may be saying to us, or what God may be saying to me. He gives us that direction as we need it. And God guides one step at a time. When Paul and Silas set out on the second missionary journey, their intent was to go back and to see how the churches were doing. And then they didn't have any other plans other than that. And they thought, well, Paul said, well, I just feel that we need to go to Asia. That's where we need to go. And God, through the Holy Spirit, said, no, that's not where you're to go. So Paul says, well, I think we need to go to Bethania. And Paul says, the Lord says, no, you're not supposed to go there either. And he didn't understand, but he just followed the Lord as the Lord led him one step at a time. Because, dear friends, we don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what's around the next bend. Don't you wish you did? But we're driving down the road in a place you've never been before and on a strange road, and you can only see the road that's right in front of you. When it makes around the curve, you don't know what's around the curve or over the next hill. We don't know that. We're taking the journey down through life trusting, but we don't know what's around that next curve. But you know what? God's already there. And God's already around that next curve, and he knows what's ahead. We don't. And so we trust him because he leads and guides us one step at a time, and we can only see the portion of the road that's before us. That the Lord is sovereign, and he sees the big picture. Do you believe that? He is the writer of our story. He is the producer of our story in life. He is the director of the script. And he has written the script for your life and mine already. He's determined what it is to be. And he will guide and direct us as we live that out. But he only reveals the story to us usually one frame at a time. He doesn't reveal the whole picture. Don't you wish he did? Don't you wish you knew what was around the next road for you? Around the next bend? But yet we trust God because he leads us one step at a time. And I'm sure as you look back in your life, can't you see the faithfulness of how God's led you in the past? And to know that if he did in the past, he's going to in the future. Because our steps, the scripture says, your steps and mine are ordered and directed by the Lord himself. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And in Psalm 37 verse 23, in the King James Version, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Same verse In the New Living Translation, I like it a little better, says this: the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by his hand. But the Lord directs your steps and mine, so that's why we need to stay close enough to him to follow as he's leading us. He guides every step that we take, which means that we need to keep in step with the Spirit. As he is directing us and being sensitive to his Spirit, as the Spirit seems to be opening or closing these doors for us and guiding our life, we need to be sensitive to him and keep in step with him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says, keep in step with the Spirit. That is, since we're led by the Spirit of God, let us keep in step with the Spirit of God. As he says, this is the way, walk you in it, leading us one step at a time. And in Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, God had called Joshua to lead the people of Israel forward into the promised land. Moses had died, and Moses had led them for 40 years. God had now called Joshua to lead them across the river into unknown territory where they had never been before. And they didn't know the way to go. And God said to Joshua this in chapter 3, verse 4. He said, have the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant and have them move out from their positions and follow it. And he said, then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. As God goes out before us and leads the way, the scripture says, then we will know which way to go because we've never been that way before. But hey, God has, and our sovereign spirit, the sovereign spirit is already there. And we can trust him, and we can leave. And that's how he leads, and that's how he directs. So keeping in step with the Spirit, being sensitive enough. So God guides us through those open and closed doors, through circumstances and discernment, both personally and collectively, and one step at a time. Now, in his book, The Mystery of God's Will, Chuck Swindoll, dealing with the subject, said there's four ways that we can help be able to discern God's guidance and direction. And he said that God leads us through his written word, and he won't say anything consistent with that. God leads us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit, which we've seen. God leads us through the counsel of wise, qualified, and trustworthy people, which we've seen. And God gives us an inner assurance of peace. And we know that through those things, when they come together, it's the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit. So how do we make this personal this morning? Questions for you and I to ponder, as we all need directions in life. And how do we find it? We want to go to God and his word. But we want to go through the discernment of the Holy Spirit, and we want to be led properly. Our approach is not to come to the Word of God and, like some people do, where this one guy opened up the Word of God and wanted direction, and he just opened it up when he put his finger down and it said, Judas went and hung himself. He said, oh boy, that's not good. So he closed it really quick and he opened up another one and put his finger down and it said, go and do likewise. And he says, this isn't good. So he opened it up a third time, put his finger down, and said, whatever thou doest, do as quickly. He thought, boy, that's not the way to get guidance and direction. Or another guy who was having financial difficulties. And it was very difficult, and he was going through financial time in his life in a crisis, and he didn't know what to do. So he thought, well, I'll turn to the Word of God for counsel. I'll just open up and see what God wants. And just open up flippantly and put his finger down. And he read chapter 11. That's not the guidance from God either. That's not how he works. That's why the discernment comes in. So how do we make this personal? Questions to ponder as we're thinking about the guidance that God gives us. First one is, what doors have you seen the Lord open and close for you lately? Think back on your life recently, and what doors have you seen God open? What doors have you seen God close? Because if you sense him opening this door, that's his leading. If you sense him closing the door, then you say, that's his leading as well. He doesn't want me to go that way. He doesn't want me to make that decision. He doesn't want me to take that action. Second question for you to ponder is, how have you seen the Lord direct your steps? Because he will direct our steps one step at a time. And as you look back and see how he's directed your steps in the past, we can trust that he's going to be faithful to direct him in the future. So what has he done for you? How do you see him directing your steps now? Another question to ask is, what do you sense that the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do today? Because he prompts us to action. He prompts us maybe to pray for someone or something. What do you sense he is prompting you to do today, now, as he's speaking to you through his word, as he's here present with us? And then whatever you sense he's prompting you to do, write that down and do it. Because that's his leading. That's his direction. That's his guidance that he's providing. Another question to ask is, how are you seeking to keep in step with the Spirit? Because as he is leading and directing us, he'll lead our path, and he'll guide us every step of the way, but we need to keep in step with him. So how are you seeking to keep in step with the Spirit now? Are you staying close enough to him that you can recognize and hear his voice when he speaks? And is there an area in your life where you are lacking peace? Because if there's an area in your life where you're lacking peace, you can conclude, that's not God's leading. That's not God's will for me. That's not his direction and guidance there. He doesn't want me to go that way. Because it is his will and direction, you will have that peace and you will have that assurance that this is the way. Walk in it. So just some practical ways, questions to ask yourself as we apply the teaching of God's word this morning. That we can look back, just as Fanny Crosby wrote in her hymn, "All the way my Savior leads me." And we can look back and give glory and praise to the Lord for what he has done, how he has led us through the fires, through the difficult times, through the good, the mountaintops and the valleys, through the green pastures, through the still waters. He's led us every step of the way and will continue to. And we can praise him with that great hymn of praise, "All the way my Savior leads me." So who do you turn to when you need guidance and direction? Turn to the Lord, listen to his Spirit, because he will direct our steps. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your guidance and direction in our life, that you don't leave us wandering aimlessly, but you are intimately involved with our life, and you are sovereign, and your Spirit is sovereign, and you have a purpose and a plan and a will for us that you want us to accomplish. And you give us the direction that we need in life. You guide us, Lord, through opening doors to us, also closing them, prompting us in our spirit, prompting us within to let us know that this is a sense that you want us to do this. Also maybe restraining us from things that we shouldn't do. Through all that, you give us peace or not. But Lord, help us to come to the right conclusion when we look at to see the circumstances of life that we're in, to have the discernment of the Spirit to come to the proper conclusions to know whether this is your leading or whether it's not. And we thank you, Lord, for that assurance and the promise that you do lead us step by step, one step at a time, as the good shepherd leading and directing. And all we need to do is follow you, because you know the way through the wilderness. You know the story. You know what's around the next bend because you're already there. And so, Lord, may we be your faithful followers. Help us, Lord, to trust you and as your sheep to lovingly follow you, knowing that our life is in your hands, the shepherd. And as the shepherd, you take care of us. You provide for us. You lead us and direct us, and don't leave us alone. You don't forsake us, but you lead us home. Because you know the way, because you are the way. So thank you, Jesus, for who you are and for what you do and your guidance and direction in our life. Help us to be so sensitive to your Spirit that we can hear and recognize you and see your leading in our life when you direct us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.